Greenside, the IGA podcast.
Also, Mike McCoy, the 2013 U.S.
Zach Johnson, now a two-time major champion after becoming the winner of the 144th Open Championship.
All right, welcome to Greenside, the IGA podcast. Clint Brown here with you. Got guest Terry Cook. We got a couple events coming up. Terry is one half of the defending senior division champions on the IGA four ball side of things. We're going to be at Coldwater May 6th and 7th, and then we got the Iowa Mid-Am May 20th, 21st up at Spencer, where Terry used to run around a little bit. Terry, how have you been?
Good. I'm down here in Arizona trying to get my game in shape. So me and my partner, Joe Palmer, have a chance to defend our title on the four ball again this year. I think we won it five times. So
yes,
it's exciting to have a good partner, obviously. Joe's had a tremendous career, and how he's played is outstanding. So hopefully I can contribute. And we have a chance to win it again this year. And matter of fact, now that it's at Coldwater, that was the first time me and Joe won the four ball. 2004, I think, we won the Open Division.
Yep, I was just going to look that up, but I didn't have a chance to before we got on the line here. So tell me about Coldwater from your perspective.
God, you know, me and Joe are going to go up and play practice around next week. It's been such a long time I played that golf course. I the thing I do remember, a few of the holes, that there are a couple tight fairways. I think number two or three, but it's along the fence line. But the greens can be very fast and slippery. And so that's good. If you get me on good greens and fast greens, it, you know, you can separate yourself from the field, because some of the individuals don't get a chance to play on good fast greens. But again, it's in May this year, so it's hard to tell how the greens are. And I know the weather hasn't been that good back home. It's been a lot of rain and cold, so it'd be interesting to see what the course looks like, you know, when we get there.
So you guys said you were going to go up and play a practice round. Do you kind of get a game plan from there, Terry, or tell me kind of how you and Joe team up and kind of, you know, go from there?
Yeah, me and Joe have played so much golf together over the last 15-20 years. We're pretty comfortable around each other. Joe, I feel like I get a free Joe off. Joe makes a lot of birdies. He knows I'm going to be in the hole. So it's easy for him to go out there and just swing at it and go out the flag, go flag hunting, because you got to make a lot of birdies and, you know, in the format that we have. So I try to just hit her down the middle and try to make a few birdies and let free Joe up, and then away we go. So, and if Joe gets his putter hot, watch out, because he's had some great rounds with me in the four ball.
I was just going to say, he's had some ones I know where you've just been in there for par, and he's just draining putts. I'm trying to think, there was one, gosh, where was it? Up Northwest, I think. He just got the hot putter and took off.
Well, actually, it was down in, it was over in Omaha, our Council Bluffs.
Yeah, yes, that's right. West. Yes. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And I think he shot like 61.
Yeah.
You know, we just stayed in the moment, and I was hitting fairways and greens, and I made a few birdies, but other than I just sat there and he was making 15, 20 footers, because he knew I was in for par. He's just banging in the back of the hole. I think he'd done that twice with me. In fact, I think in Coldwater, if I go back, I think Joe shot like, I mean, we end up winning it by one, but I think Joe shot like 62 or three there. And it's awful nice to be able to just sit there and watch him make a bunch of putts when I'm, you know, freeze him up. So it just tells you, you know, if you have a little bit more confidence in your game, how little somebody can go if you know, they're not worried about missing them, right? So,
well, I was just going to say, if he knows,
so yes.
Yeah, if he knows you're in for par, and, you know, he's not afraid to, you know, give it a go, or, you know, if he misses it, it's, you know, three, 4 feet by, he's not thinking about that, is he?
Zach, no, he's not thinking about that. He's thinking about making them, and that's all I want Joe to do, is just think about making them, because he knows I'm a pretty good putter, and I'm not going to leave him hanging there. So that's good. I'm excited. Hopefully, I get my game turned around and be ready to go, and we have a chance to win it again.
That's
keep
right.
The streak alive.
That's right. Keep it going. Right. Heading up to Spencer, mid to late May there for the Iowa Mid-Am. Terry, I haven't been up to Spencer for so long. I remember a couple of the holes. Give me the lowdown of what what the guys are going to see up at the Mid-Am at Spencer.
Now, again, I played the Northwest Amateur there since, you know, I'm from there. I grew up there. I didn't play really much golf growing up because, you know, I was a wrestler, you know, and then when I got done competing and wrestling, I ended up getting into golf. So I really, last 25 years, I played the Northwest Amateur. I finished runner-up there. I won the senior division. I know that golf course is probably as good as anybody. That golf course is right in front of you. It's old school golf course. You know, the greens, you know, from back to front. It's a short golf course. You'll see a lot of birdies. These kids, these mid amateurs, you know, the Denny Bowles of the world, when they hit it hard, there's a few of those holes they can almost drive. They can drive one. They can almost drive 10. The par fives are all par fours for those guys. Except maybe, you know, I'm trying to think, maybe it depends where that wind's coming out of. You know, there's a couple of them, one of them you might have troubles getting to. But they could definitely reach them. It's just a matter of if it's soft and wet at that time of year. Because we play it in August, it's usually firm and fast. So it'll play a little different. I'm suspecting the greens will be a little slower in May. Okay. So it's going to play a little bit longer, but it's not a long golf course for these kids. You're going to see some good scores up there. I enjoy going back. I tell you what, it's a first class. They run it first class up there. With the Northwest Am, I don't expect anything different. They'll have people helping out there. So I'm excited to get back there. It's neat to get back, you know, to play Mid-Am, you know, outside of somewhere we haven't played in so long. I mean, I've been part of the Iowa Golf Association for, you know, 30 years, let's say, and to be able to go back to my hometown is pretty special. And there's a couple other guys that are going back up there. Chris Kramer, he's a fine player. He played at Iowa. We grew up together, one of my best friends. And I got another guy that's going to run up and play there, Randy Byrne. He's going up to play because he's from there. So that's kind of nice to see, you know, a couple new faces playing in those to get more people involved, right? We want them to be part of the Iowa Golf Association.
I did not know Chris Kramer was from Spencer, and you guys grew up together. I grew up there. So I learned something.
As a matter of fact, he actually had the course record there, and I think Kenny Shaw beat it or vice versa. I think Kramer had the record at 61 up there, 62, for a long time. Kramer, he grew up on the golf course. So and so he's going to be tough to beat because he knows it. He grew up there. He played all through school there, all through as a kid. He grew up on the golf course, matter of fact. He lived on a golf course. So watch out for him. He'll be tough to beat on his own golf course. And he hits it hard.
Well, I was just going to say, if you asked me to name off guys that hit it hard, he would definitely be on my list. I've always been impressed with Chris. As hard, he hits it hard. You're exactly right. I mean, that's just plain and simple.
And for all the people out there that are listening or going to be listening to this podcast, is you if you get a chance to watch him hit it, he doesn't even go at it hard. He's not, you know, but he just takes it back and boom, and it goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a 56-year-old guy, he still hits it 300. I mean, it's amazing how hard you don't have to swing to hit it far.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He's really solid. He's good. He's got probably one of the best short games I've seen in a long, long time. Putting suspect. He knows that. That's his issue. We all got our own team.
We all got exactly. So you mentioned, and you kind of led me into this a little bit because I wanted to dig into this a little bit. So you were a wrestler growing up. I'll say it. You were one of the best in Iowa. How did you transition to golf? Give me kind of the review of that and kind of maybe how you took some of that, you know, wrestling mentality into the golf course. Cause I think they do in some ways overlap a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you know, I look back and you probably saw that on the Pin Doctor. I don't know if you read that article about me.
Yeah.
Did you read that article?
Okay. I did.
So,
yeah.
You know, it was a great article and I was, you know, humbled and honored to be able to, you know, be one of the best to ever come out of Iowa. And I look back and there's some truth to what, you know, the article is about me. And so when I took up golf after wrestling, my whole mindset was, hey, listen, I'm not going to take up golf like I did wrestling because I dove in, you know, 100% and you go down those dark rabbit holes and you train like a madman and go hard. And then I said, listen, I know how to win and I know how I can win in golf, but I don't want to go down that road. And then when I started playing golf, I was just doing it for fun. As a matter of fact, I was at Willow Creek when I first started playing golf. I didn't know anything about golf other than I want to go out there and get a tan. So Kenny Shaw was out there. I'd go out there with my blue jean cutoff shorts, my black top tennis shoes, and my shirt off, and I was there for the tan. And I think I'm going to have fun. And then I was a broke young kid back then. And then Kenny said, why don't you start playing some of these tournaments? And I was shooting 80 something. And I had no money, but I could go play the Fort Dodge or the Carrolls back then for $40. I'm thinking, well, shoot, for $40, I can go play a golf tournament. And I get to play two or three rounds. I said, I can't play, you know, you go to Fort Dodge or Carroll, you'd pay 60 or 70 just to play one round. So I'm thinking, this is a great value. So I started playing in these tournaments. And next thing you know, I said, God, if I could just make the cut, I get to play next round, I could win my flight. And so I'd go play these tournaments. And every now and then I'd catch the flight and win. And I'm thinking, God, if I just work a little harder, I could maybe get in the championship flight. And back then, in the championship flight, back then, the last place got like $25 no matter what. I might have been $75 back then. I can't remember. Sure. So I think, God, let's just make the cut. And the championship flight, and I started making championship flight cuts. And then I got more into it. And the next thing you know, I want to start winning. And then I said, don't go there. And I tried to talk myself out of not working so hard at my game. And because the mentality of a wrestler is you got blinders on and there's no one you don't think you can't beat. And I've been fortunate enough. I beat the best ever in Iowa. I mean, you know, I beat the Gene Elliott's, I beat the Mike McCoy's, I beat the John Brown's, and they're all Hall of Famers. But you know, day in and day out, obviously they've had a hell of a career and they're better than I am. But I know I could beat them on any given day because that's, you got to think that way, you know? So I started winning more and the mentality was a wrestler was I can beat them all, but over 3 days is going to be hard. So then I started working a little harder at it. Then I got ranked like 40th in the world. And then this last year, we talked about it before we got on the show, is like it backfired on me. So this last year I've been really struggling because I want to go to the next level. But then I told myself as a young guy that don't go there because then they're going to take the fun out of the game. And all I want to do is win. And that's where I'm at today. It's like, it's so hard to shut it off because the mentality as me as a wrestler is you only know one thing is to win. In order to win, you got to outwork everybody and out to be able to practice everybody. And so the mentality, and by the way, I would challenge you to find a wrestler that has done as well as I had at golf because right. Wrestlers usually don't play golf.
Right.
Yeah. So there ain't a wrestler who plays golf. Because on the flip side is there's things that the number one is patience for golf. Wrestlers aren't very patient. So I used to play real fast and you knew that. I'm probably the fastest player in Iowa. Now I'm probably the slowest because I can't take it back. But you got to have patience. You got to relax. And a wrestler's mentality is attack, attack, attack. Well, there's some good things and bad things about that. Like, I don't see anything but the fairway and the green. I don't see anything outside of that as a wrestler. And I'm sure some of the great golfers probably feel that way too. They don't see that stuff. But the wrestlers are probably more aggressive. But that could be a very positive for golfers. And I would say that if I had a young kid growing up, I would love to have them wrestle than play golf. Not matter of fact, I played the kid today. His name's Andre Metzger Jr. And you just Google this kid. He's playing with us today. His dad was one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. I know Clint, you're a huge wrestling guy. His name's Andre Metzger. His dad's name is. His dad won two national titles. Yeah, his dad's in the Hall of Fame. National Hall of Fame won two national titles on a world team. And everybody in the state of Iowa knows Randy Lewis. Metzger beat Randy Lewis 5 times. Lewis only beat him twice. That just tells you how good he is. So anyway, his kid is playing with us today. Me and a couple of guys are sponsored him. He played on the Corn Ferry a little bit last year. But he won 33 times on the mini tour. He's won everything in South Dakota over 30 times up there. He just won last week at Parker Open down here in Arizona. But he's 39 years old. He didn't take up golf until later in life. He played college golf, but then he got out of it. But he got better as he got older. But he's got a wrestler mentality because he wrestled all the way up until he's about, you know, 9th, 10th grade. And you can he's got a lot of qualities that he brings to the golf course from being a wrestler. His mind, very mentally strong. And he's still trying to make it out there. But you can't break him. He's a goer. He's mentally tough. And so that's what's good about a wrestler in golf. And I'd like to, if like I said, if I had a young kid, I'd have him wrestling at least junior high, even, you know, up to 9th, 10th grade, and then have him play golf. Because you put those two together, it's dangerous. It really is.
Right. I know, and you can tell me this too, that, you know, obviously, you know, with a wrestler, I mean, it's three periods. You got to be ready to go hard for three periods. And I think with golf, you got to have that mentality. I mean, you got to be focused and ready to roll for 18 holes and then kind of getting into match play, which you've had a lot of success with. I mean, you just got to be zeroed in, don't you?
Yeah. And that's why, you know, over the years I've been pretty good in the match play, because again, now I'm going back to my roots of me and you, let's get it on. Mm-hmm. And there's not one person I don't think I can beat for 18 holes. I mean, I don't care who it is. I feel like I can beat anybody for 18 holes. And that may require my best game I've ever played. And if that's what it's going to take, that's what I think in the back of my mind is, I can beat anybody for 18 holes. I don't care who it is, but just give me a chance. If my game's on, it's hard to beat at that point. So the mindset for the difference with golf is now you're talking about 4 or 5 hour round of golf, is a wrestler is short spurts, right? I mean,
right.
So to get overshot hits good, but for 5 hours, it took me a long time to change my mindset that I'm going to be out and concentrate for 5 hours. That's what's hard about golf, is you really got to stay in the moment. That's why Gene Elliott's really good at plotting his way around a golf course. You ever watch him, how he's real methodical, just like attacks the golf course, but doesn't really, it's kind of like he's like a snake. He just kind of just, you know, gradually just chokes you. And win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, and he goes real slow at it. You don't, Gene's really good at it. You don't ever see him get up or down. You don't know how he's actually doing, because he's just so methodical. He just plots his way along and he wins. And so he's got a really good gift of that. And, you know, so I look at Gene, you know, when I see that, it's how he goes about his business is different than Mike McCoy. Mike's, you know, he's, you know, you can see when Mike's playing good, he's walking real fast and he's going, you know, and he's razor focused, you know.
Right.
You know, so yeah, so there's different, you know, ways to go about competing and then there's Joe Palmer. Joe wears his on his sleeve, you know. You can tell if Joe's playing good or bad, you know. So you know, and so that's kind of where you go as a golfer and a wrestler is, you know, there's a lot of different ways to get it done, but in wrestling the same way. So, you know, it's just how, who it is. You know, I feel like you can tell if I'm playing good or bad typically too, you know. But me, I'm a more of a grinder because I think that's my mentality. I'm on a grind. Not that those guys aren't grinding, but mine's a different type of grind. I mean, it's hard to break me mentally. I'm on the golf course, you know, so there's no give up. And so that's part of the wrestling comes out of me that, you know, if I made 5 bogeys in a row, I think I'm going to make 5 birdies in a row. And it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened, but every time I think I'm going to.
Terry, kind of going back to kind of when you started, you mentioned Kenny Shaw. Did you work with him a lot early on? Kind of, you know, how did that go?
Well,
early on when you were kind of diving into golf?
That's a great question. You know, and any young kids out there that are listening to this, I even actually in the business world, we can even actually apply to that. I always try to surround myself. In fact, I wore Gene out and Mike out in the young days of calling him, wanting to play with him. I played a ton. I probably played 1,000 rounds with Knutson and Ben Pettit. I want to play with guys better than me. And so when I start, it's just, I gravitate toward guys that are good at it. So I go out to Willow Creek and it amazed me. I didn't know who Kenny Shaw was because I don't know anything about golf. And Kenny was just a pro out there, a teaching pro, actually. Okay. And I go out there and wear Kenny out. Kenny just got a kick out of me. And matter of fact, that there's a prime example. Kenny actually wrestled growing up. And Bob Siddons, the great Bob Siddons, coach from Waterloo West.
Yeah.
Bob Siddons, Kenny wrestled for Bob, and Kenny went and seen Bob. He goes, "What do you think about my wrestling career?" And Kenny and Bob Siddons told Kenny, because "I think you're better off just going to play golf." So Kenny ended up quitting wrestling, like I think in sophomore in high school. But Kenny's got the mentality. When Kenny, in his heyday, Kenny could get it up and down out of the garbage can. A little tidbit on Kenny was he held the record on the PGA Tour for the most one putts in golf on the PGA Tour for years. You probably didn't know that.
I did not know that.
He had like 18 one putts because he got up and down from everywhere. So, but Kenny, so Kenny kind of gravitated toward me. I don't know if he'd say that, he might not say that in front of me, but Kenny kind of liked me. So Kenny put me under his wing and I caddied for Kenny when we made it through the, matter of fact, we qualified for the PGA down in Valhalla. I caddied for him to get there. And once he got there, I said, Kenny said, "What do you think? Should we use somebody different for this one?" I said, "Yeah, it's probably a good idea," because I didn't want to really caddy down to Valhalla. It was freaking hot. I went down and watched him. And then we made the second stage U.S. Open qualifier. So I was just a young kid, didn't know, golf etiquette. Well, obviously, you probably know that. I'm not very good at that to this day still, but I'm getting better. Anyway, so Kenny, I'd caddy for Kenny, and I just watch him. And I'd watch him. And so I spent a lot of time with Kenny. And then Kenny gave me some lessons. And a really good lesson at one time, Chris Winkle gave me a great lesson up in Briarwood. But most of the time, Kenny's my guy. He knows my swing better than anybody. And typically he knows how I think. And he makes it real simple for me. If I'm struggling, he says, "Just try this." And that's all we do. And so Kenny'd be the guy that had a lot to do with where I am today. But he'll also tell you I did it myself. But and there's some truth to that. But if I ever had any props, Kenny's really good. He gets the game, and he's a competitor. You know that. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame for a reason.
Right.
I mean, he played six. He played what? I might be wrong. 7 PGAs and 2 U.S. Opens. The guy can play.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah, that's because Kenny was my guy.
Derry, are you and yeah. I don't know that I know this, so I'm curious. Are you a guy that likes to just play more than beat balls at the range, or do you kind of like to go to the range and kind of work on things too?
You know, the guys out the harvester, they tell everybody I hit more balls than anybody out there. the thing is my wrestling comes in that can get to be a little over the top. Is in my mind, I'm like, McCoy's a lot like me. McCoy's a grinder and bangs a lot of balls. Is I want to make sure when I show up on that tee box, I'm ready to win. In order for me to do that, I got to be able to outwork everybody, and I got to believe that I should win because the time and effort I put into it. If I don't think I'm going to win, I wouldn't show up at a golf tournament. So in order to do that, I've got to actually work. And I don't think I work that hard, but everybody tell you, not everybody, people that know me, is I work hard at it. But nothing like I did if I was wrestling, I can promise you that. But I still feel like I outwork anybody in the golf, except maybe McCoy. But, that's why he's on the Walker Cup, and that's why he won the U.S. Mid-Am, because he outworked everybody, and he worked hard. And my mentality is basically the same thing. I typically try to have a club in my hand at least 5 days a week, doing something with it, right? I mean, as I get older, I don't probably bang near as much many balls as I used to. My body's pretty beat up from wrestling. Mm-hmm. I've got, as a matter of fact, I got a bad hip now. I'm going to have a hip surgery at some point here, but my elbows and my shoulders are pretty banged up from wrestling, and I've had surgeries, lots of surgeries. So I don't work, but, again, I don't know how you define work. I mean, I'm still doing it you know, I mean, I'll be out there all day, you know, practicing or playing. So, sure. I mean, I guess I still work hard. In theory, I'm still working harder than most.
Well, Terry, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. Always good to talk to you, and we'll look forward to seeing you at Coldwater at the IGA Four Ball.
Thank you, Clint. You're the best. Hey, you know, I love talking to you because I know you're a huge wrestling fan on top of it, and you don't see very many golfers that are huge wrestling fans.
That's right.
So make sure you keep watching that wrestling. I mean, there's, you know, I know you probably watched the Nationals, and there's some great matches, and so. I appreciate all you do for golf and actually wrestling on top of it, because it's close to my heart, and you experienced some of the wrestling part of it too. So thanks again for having me on your podcast today.
All righty. We'll see you down the trail.
All right, champ. Keep your eye on the prize. It's right in front of you.